Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Yes, you need to come by Robert Hack Diamonds where I am in Greenfield because Leroy Butler is here. He'll be here till 6, signing autographs for fans celebrating the 30th anniversary of the very first Lambo Leap, which I'm sure Jason Woolley remembers. And, of course, they have all the deals at Robert Hack Diamonds because I tell people, go wherever you want. Go to as many places you want. Just make sure you come to Robert Hack Diamonds because in the end, you'll buy from them because you get better for less. Better is normally good enough, but no, now you get better for less. Jason, do you remember the first ever Lambo Leap?
No, I do not.
Oh. You were around, though.
I wasn't there. I wasn't there.
You haven't been doing it 30 years?
I started covering the team. This is my 28th season, so I was not. I mean, I've seen it 1,000 times, but I was not.
Okay.
I was not there when Reggie stepped out of bounds, and there was no replay, so it counted, and a legend was born. It was awesome moment. I love it. And
against the Raiders, I think, right?
Correct. Yes,
okay.
And certainly
preseason.
I
was it?
Love
was it preseason or regular season?
No. It was. It was definitely in the regular. It was a game that counted.
Okay.
It was down the stretch of the season, if I recall correctly. But
I'm sure you do.
Most
I don't.
Importantly, yeah, you're old. But most importantly, it was, with this Reggie White 30 for 30 coming out tonight. It reminds me.
I'll have to watch that. I wonder if they didn't ask me for the time that he called my house. I'm a little disappointed. That
wait, what?
Pretty good story. Oh yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So after he had the born-again hamstring, I don't know that everybody else called it that, but I certainly did.
You did. I remember that, yes.
And at that time, I was doing TV, and I did. I don't think I had done the interview with Reggie, but I don't know if I was doing it that year. But anyway, it's about 9 in the morning, and the phone rings, and Nancy answers. And it goes over, she goes, Reggie White's on the line. And then she said, so what do you do this time? Such confidence. And it was a very short
conversation. And why was he calling?
He called because he said, oh, my God, I can't believe you're getting on me. That's the best Reggie I can do. It's not very good. He said, I thought you'd be the guy that be behind me. And I'm like, Reggie, what are you talking about? He said, well, they were saying that you were surprised that I was bothered by all these people in the locker room that didn't believe my story about what happened. I said, yeah, I did say that. He said, why would you do that? I said, Reggie, the original, they didn't believe him. Why would you think they're going to believe you? He goes, well, yeah, but you still should have. And then that was the end of it. So I thought my answer was really good, but.
It is. Yeah, I'm impressed.
And wouldn't that be, and then the other story, which is really sad, and I never got a chance to talk to him about it, but when his church burned down and they needed money, there was a guy, mm-hmm. John Fisco, who had a Christian bookstore, and because of Reggie, he had bought all these Reggie White books from, I think they wrote it when he was in Philly, and by the time he got it, it was from one of these places where you get them for a penny on the dollar. And
pre-owned.
So, yes, pre-owned. Or he didn't stay. They had a lot of, books that nobody bought. So anyway, so we did a deal where we sold 100 books, and you had to donate $100 to the church. So it raised $10,000 in 1 hour. Well, we all know the sad story. The guy ripped them off and took advantage of Reggie being as spiritual as he was and used the money for drugs or whatever like that. And Reggie never apologized. And I never understand why not. No one blamed Reggie. It was, you got used.
Well, that's all those... Now, wait a minute, though. That's interesting because I don't think that is the version of the story or any version has ever been, heavily circulated like that.
Really? What's the other version?
I think there's a lot of people that just think that was, that all these people donated money and then they never rebuilt the church.
The guy was a drug deal and he was using it for drugs and stuff like that. And Reggie was the perfect person to go to because he was
gullible.
Invested. What? Yeah. And he believed in people. I think the problem is what Sarah had was that Reggie would have mowed everybody's lawn. Reggie would have told God's story to everyone and 24/7, and at some point, she had to create some level of discipline to have a life, and that guy knew that Reggie was the one that, that he could convince to believe in him and everything, and so, but yeah, that's my
version. I wonder if that'll be touched on. I wonder if that'll be touched on in the 30 for 30, because I really do. Like, I knew that there was some, and even I didn't realize the degree, but I knew that there was some shady dude that basically was responsible for that money disappearing, that it wasn't I never thought it was Reggie to begin with, but
it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I just thought for my show to get 10 grand in 1 hour was pretty pretty good.
Well, you're a fundraiser, though. That's kind of in your wheelhouse, let's be honest.
Yes, that was early on, and you know, I mean, the book clearly wasn't a great book because John Fisco had bought it.
Almost as bad as Reggie's Prayer of the Movie. Yeah, with Holmgren as a janitor. That was ask Leroy Butler about when he's not signing autographs about Reggie's Prayer, the movie. Again, love Reggie.
I never saw it. I know what you're referring to. I'd like to see it.
Favre and Holmgren are janitors.
And the sad part to me about that is maybe someone would do it. You wouldn't have had to make a bad movie. I mean, Reggie's spirituality was off the charts. And so you could have just told all the different stories that existed from locker rooms and what he did. And, you know, I mean, there are just a ton of examples of that that, you know, would have made for, I would think, a great story. Or, you know, even... You want to, you know, you got to have some excitement. You want a little, but the story with the church would have been, you know, part of the whole. I mean, I think you could talk to all the players, like they wouldn't swear. Or Reggie didn't want anybody to swear, right?
Well, what I always thought was one of the secrets, and again, I don't know. I know you're done at six, and so is Leroy with his autograph signing. But I always thought one of the best things about that team, one of the most effective things about that team, was that Reggie, the division of labor in terms of leadership on that defense between Reggie and Leroy, because I don't want to compare their two levels of faith and all that kind of stuff, but Leroy had a different type of connection with different guys in that locker room than Reggie did with the guys that were going to go to Bible study or whatever else, and they really did have kind of every version of an NFL player, whether they were at the very religious end or at the other end of
at the Wayne Simmons end.
Right. I mean, seriously, that I did. Wayne Simmons did cross my mind as I was saying.
Well, no, I don't. And I didn't know. I mean, you knew this story probably, like that they didn't get in a fight, but Reggie's chasing him around, or Reggie got mad, I'm sure, at some point because Wayne Simmons was crazy, and a good crazy, but if anybody said you can't do this because it'll make Reggie mad, I'm sure Wayne Simmons says, tough for Reggie.
Yeah, I was not there for that, whatever that was either, but that is one of the many behind-the-scenes stories from that era that I think people really enjoy for sure.
I mean, to be here at Robert Heck Diamonds in Brookfield, and Leroy will be here till 6, also gave me a chance because I don't know if everybody knows the historic greatness of Reggie White, but I fear sometimes they just don't realize how really good Leroy Butler was. He wasn't Reggie. No one was Reggie. Reggie, you know, one of the greatest of all times.
Uh-huh.
But Leroy was so good that it was just so wrong that it took him that long to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's because the team just didn't do, if they'd won two Super Bowls. But he was a Hall of Fame player and a good Hall of Fame player. If they're, you know, like three levels, barely gets in, good, and first ballot. And I don't know how do you tell people, Jason, how good he was?
Well, for Leroy, it's actually a really simple thing. That position was so poorly represented. I mean, there was a period where, like, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Rick Goslin is one of my mentors, and is just a great, fantastic guy. And he once came on the show with Tausch and me, and flat out said it. It was a few years before Leroy got in, and said, look, we have a major problem at this position. We have done a terrible job of electing safeties.
And but I can tell why. I can tell you why. A safety was just a guy who couldn't play corner. He wasn't good enough, fast enough.
Correct.
So they put him back at safety.
Right.
That's what a safety
right.
was.
That's how Leroy wound up there. Right. That's how Leroy wound up there. But that's the thing is that, and look, I know I'm biased because I covered him and I know him. And I saw so much.
But you're
more
not
of
biased.
Playing.
You can't. You couldn't say anything that
I don't,
would
yeah,
be
I don't,
too much
I don't
about how
I,
good he
I,
was.
Well, let me try this another way. The people will say that I'm biased because he's the guy that I covered as opposed to these other guys. I think he was a superior player to multiple safeties that got in before him. I think he was a better player than John Lynch. I think there were a couple of others that went in before him because he redefined the position. Right, I mean, he came up. Was it a sack short of being the first 20-40 guy?
No, the sacks are what changed everything. Nobody did that.
Right, right. So that's the reason why he should have gotten in far earlier is because not only was he all-decade team and Pro Bowl and All-Pro multiple-time player, but he changed the way the position was played. And I think anybody that does that and also accomplishes what he accomplished, I think that that's one of the things that is a separator. Like, I don't know what if Cecil Isbell changed the way quarterbacking
yes,
was played back
huge.
In that era.
And I don't.
But
you may
Don
have talked
Huston
to Fritz Shermer
changing the receiver position.
Right. I mean, Fritz Shermer did what? The reason they had him do it is because they must have had him do it once, and he was great at it. Like. You know,
I think Ray Rhodes actually was the one who kind of got it started.
Was
and then
it?
Obviously Fritz was the, and then Fritz was the one who I would say perfected.
So he got it started putting him more on the line of scrimmage or just certain
yeah.
schemes
yeah.
where mm-hmm. he's going to rush the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but again, Ron Wolf loved the phrase field tilting player. And that defense had multiple ones on it. The story that defines everything, and I know Reggie in the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 31 obviously had all those sacks against Max Lane, and they, that's a memorable moment from the Super Bowl they won. But the Super Bowl they lost, Mike Shanahan will tell you, Ed Donatell, who was on Shanahan's staff for that Super Bowl and Sherman
had to know
hired
where
as the defensive
Leroy
coordinator,
was.
They all those offensive coaches, it was all where's 36. We cannot let 36 beat us.
I always think that tells you everything about how good people are. I've always thought if you want to know how good somebody's players were historically defensively, just ask the offensive coordinators and how they game planned because that determined
exactly.
everything.
Yeah. Well, speaking of offensive coordinators, Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich are – I think going to have a bit of a tall order. Now, I did talk to Dontavion Wicks in the locker room today. All players claim they're going to play. Let's keep that in mind when I say this. But he feels like his high ankle sprain that he suffered on Monday night has made progress already. So he's hopeful that maybe he's able to go. I did not get to talk to Christian Watson. It was kind of a messed up locker room this afternoon or this evening. But he would not have taken part in a practice today had they had one. But the good news is that Jaden Reed, who was being evaluated for a concussion after the game, apparently turned out he didn't have a concussion, which is great news. So he is on the injury report, but not for a concussion. So that would increase the likelihood that Jaden Reed, who obviously has been, something of a field-tilting player himself of late, should be available against the Buccaneers.
So do you, to the point of, I don't know what's going to happen game to game. You just can't know with this team, and you just feel like when they add them all up, it'll be 8 or 9.
I would agree. I mean, look, the 6-11 prediction will definitely be proven wrong. They're not losing out. I don't believe that. I also, part of that prediction was that they were going to kind of figure things out late in the year and maybe win 3 of their last 4. So I thought it was going to be way worse at this point than it has been. They have, Jordan Love actually, or maybe it was, I think it was Anders Carlson actually who said this to me today. He said, we're so young around here, but I actually think it's allowed us to improve more quickly than some of these other teams, because it's just everybody's young and they're all kind of on the same page of their development together, which I thought was an interesting observation from a kicker. But they definitely have come along faster than I anticipated to put themselves in this position. I know Monday night was a step back, but you know, and I love what Jordan said today, because you know, I said I've seen plenty of inexperienced quarterbacks who are having a crummy, that wasn't the word I used, game, and they just keep going down, and they never pull out of it that night or that game. And you know, I understand that they got some help with the fumble by Saquon Barkley and whatever.
But it was still the best part of the game.
Those last three drives, he had them in scoring position all three times, to a field goal that he missed, a field goal that they made, and then obviously the touchdown. And what I like about Jordan is he's like, yeah, but we, you know, yeah, it was better than what was going on earlier in the game, but we didn't score touchdowns. We settled for field goal attempts on those first two. So he's, you know, he really is legitimately self-critical. Like I'm not saying that Rodgers wasn't, but publicly we certainly did not get a whole lot of that's on me.
No, publicly they you couldn't be more separated. You mean one's California, one's Maine. I mean, there's right. I mean, this isn't.
They're both from California, but yes.
Right. This isn't relative to their ability. This is relative to how they handle that part of their job. They're exactly the opposite.
I will join that club.
Yes, that's the way to finish. Anytime Jason will, in fact, maybe Jason will figure it out. He'll just join a club because he's got to go early.
I didn't think of that, but I will be using that in the future.
Yep. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Again, at Robert Hack Diamonds in Brookfield. Still got a half hour. Leroy Butler will be here until 6. He's signing autograph for fans celebrating the 30th anniversary of the very first Lambeau Leap. And, of course, Robert Hack Diamonds would love to come have you come here for their holiday specials on lab-grown diamonds. And as I say, go wherever you want. Just make sure you come to one of the two Robert Hack Diamonds, because when you do, you'll buy, because you'll get better for less. Leroy Butler here, Tell 6, signing autographs, 30th anniversary of the very first Lambeau Leap, Robert Hack Diamonds in Brookfield. TVV next.